So what's up, dads? I know you might feel like, man, I'm not the homeschooling person. It's my wife. You know, she's the one that does the teaching and things like that. But I found using BJU Press homeschool curriculum, man, it really helped me out with my son, Sam Witt. And so, yeah, it's a lot of fun. We go through these videos. Shout out to Mrs. Walker.
Mrs. Walker.
Shout out to Mrs. Walker. And, you know, it gives me the confidence to know that I can do it as well, that I can sit down with my son and we can go through these lessons and I can help him to see, you know, and understand what's going on. And so, man, it's a good way for us to connect as well. And it's not always our wives that have to do it. So I just want to give you that encouragement that you can do it too.
Check out BJUPressHomeschool.com today. BJUPressHomeschool.com, the premier sponsor of the Culture Proof podcast.
This is going to sound real bad. You guys are probably going to kick me off out of here. But I'm going to tell you right now, if I never had to talk to old people again, I'd be fine with it. It's like the younger generation, I still see a passion and a hunger there. And it's the mature generation that drives me crazy because they've gotten into complacency mode. Mm. And it's like, if you are in complacency mode, if you are just filling time, just going to church on Sundays, because that's what you do, because that's what I did until I was 26 years old. Mm. You gotta stand up, sit down, kneel. I knew the offering plate was coming. I knew the ritual, but I didn't know Jesus. That drives me crazy. And unfortunately, that's what I run into so many times with mature generation. We've been doing this for so many years, and this is just the way that we do it. That's not Christianity.
Thanks for checking out Culture Proof. I'm Miki.
And I'm Will.
And today we are talking with our brother Carl Kirby, who is the founder and president of Reasons for Hope, has been on the front lines for a number of years defending the faith and helping us to equip our kids to do the same thing. He has traveled all across his country. Indeed, I would say around the world. Am I right about that, Carl, if I say around the world?
Yes, ma'am. Been in a few places.
Okay. I feel like when it comes down to the gospel, it's like been in a few places, probably wanted in some of those places, but you know.
I tell everybody, don't believe what you read about me in the post office. I didn't do it.
No, that's great. Carl, look, I wanted to invite you on because your ministry is doing incredible work on the front lines. And we really do live in a time where not only is the gospel under attack among the secularists, but the gospel is under attack even in the church. And so we've got to teach our kids to discern. We ourselves have got to know how to discern. Yeah. And that's exactly what your ministry does. And I want to talk about all of the things that you're doing. But can we back up and kind of talk about the genesis of Reasons for Hope and maybe introduce this ministry to some of our listeners?
Well, thank you for the opportunity. Yeah, we started out January 2011, but prior to that, I was with a ministry called Answers in Genesis. I was on the board of directors for the first 10 years, and then I came off and went on staff and became the vice president for ministry relations. And my job was essentially to raise the funds to build the Creation Museum. And after we did that, to be honest with you, I got to the stage where I really wanted to go after younger generation and parents. And so I didn't have the ability to do that with the ministry there. So I made the decision and walked away. But it was really because my son came to me and told me that I was going to be a grandparent. And when my son told me I was going to be a grandparent, my heart kind of fell through the floor, to be very honest with you, because I was like, oh, no. I mean, the opportunities that I had to work with younger generation, I'm seeing there's some issues going on, man. And I'm like, what world is my grandchild going to grow up in? And what can I do about it? Because I understand that his peers and those above him are going to reach him. I'm going to have an impact, but his peers and those a little bit above him, those are going to be the ones that really have an impact on him. So I said, you know what? I'm going after that generation so that hopefully, selfishly, my grandchildren are going to have some people that he's looking up to that love the Lord as well, because I'm old. So I said, you know what? We got to pass it on to this next generation, because I keep hearing we're losing 50 to 88% of the younger generation, depending on which, you know, statistic that you look at. Mm. Well, then we might as well shut the doors to the church, because in 10 years, if we're losing 50 to 88%, they're not coming back. Mm. We're done.
Yeah.
And so for whatever reason, God wired me in a way that they listen. Mm. And I'm not cool. I'm not hip. I don't have any piercings. I don't have any tats.
I don't know.
Let me just say, hold on. Yeah, I have to say, not only have we heard you present, but we have also watched you interact with our kids. And yeah. you do have a rapport with teens. And I will say that awesome. That is cool. And I think what it is that they sense that you genuinely respect them and you're yep. interested in them.
Right.
You are not That's just true. Interested in getting content to them. I feel like you understand where they are. Mm. And I'm wondering if that is even a part of your testimony, that you yeah. understand where teens are.
That's who I was. Mm. I mean, I look at what's going on with these young people today. Look, I you name the drug, I did it. I wrecked 3 cars from drunk driving. Mm. I don't have a good background. I grew up around guys with one name, Crusher, Bruiser, Mauler, Assassin. You see, wow. my dad was a professional wrestler, so I grew up around crazy. And that just carried on through life. And so when I see what these young people are going through now, it's at an age that, when you're down here at 8, 9, 10, 11, that's not when I was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I mean, mine started 13, 14, but now it's down at an age where you're like, your heart breaks. Mm-hmm. And when we do our camps, all right, Miss Mickey, Mr. Will, I'm going to tell you right now, on Thursday night, we hand out a card and say, I want you to fill in the blank. When I look in the mirror, I see, and fill in the blank. And every time we do this, the level of despair, mm-hmm. the level of hurt, I'm worthless. My parents tell me I'm worthless. So that it'd be better if I was dead. I suicide, gender identity struggles, and I break. I mean, I'm telling you, the last one I did was in Georgia, and I came home and I didn't leave the house for 3 days because I was so spiritually drained. Because I tell these young people after that, it's like, look, this in a way is good. If this is who you see you are, but you don't know Christ, that's a good thing. Because that's who we are apart from Christ. We are worthless. We have nothing. Mm. But if you claim Christ as your Savior and you see yourself this way, that's a major problem. You don't know Christ. Mm. Because when you know Christ, who you are, is you're his child. Mm-hmm. He's a king. He puts you in his robe. He puts a ring on your finger. He adopts you. Yeah. You are his child. And I was adopted at age 16 from my father to my stepfather. And I'm telling you, when you get adopted by the king, that changes everything. That's what your value is. Don't let anybody deceive you anymore.
Yeah.
So I was that kid. And inside, I still am that kid, right? Because you can feel it. And I'm like, no, man, we got to give these kids the right message of who they truly are so that then that's when they can truly know the Lord. And you're not going to know them if you see yourself the way the world's telling you.
That's right.
So these children that you give these cards to, are these children that profess to be Christians?
The vast majority would claim to be Christian. Yes, sir.
Okay. So this is a great motivation of why we need to do what we do in our homes, you know, as yep. our parents, in our homes and discipling our children, because the only way we're going to stop that slide or that, you know, the children like leaving is yep. in the home, to start it there, yep. to be able to say, hey, I'm going to make it my business to disciple my children, you know, Amen. And then ministries like yours that come alongside and help out, man, a great resource. We need this yep. because this is the only way that we're going to stop the hemorrhage.
Mr. Will, I'm going to tell you, that's exactly the way it's supposed to work. The parents taking care of their children, raising them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and specifically the fathers. Mm. And this, to me, is one of the biggest problems that we have in the church today, is that dads have abdicated their responsibility to the government, to the church, or to mom. I get in trouble with everybody because it's like, look, if you want to let the government school help you in your responsibility to educate your child, that's between you and the Lord. I wouldn't recommend it. Because that's a lot of hours that the world has your child to get them to think like the world. Mm. And so Christian school, that's great too. But you still, Dad, have to be involved in that process. And even if you homeschool, and if you turn it over to mom and that's her responsibility, I hear that all the time in the church. Well, that's mom's thing. No, it's not. Mm. That's your thing.
Come on.
And mom can help you and you're a team, but you have to take the responsibility. And I think that's a part of the reason why we've lost so many of the younger generation, because dads have removed themselves from this process, and we can't. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I know there's some single ladies that are out there hearing this and like, wow, this guy's a jerk and he's calling mm-hmm. me to. No, mm-hmm. no. Look, this is the way God calls it to be. I understand we live in a fallen world. To me, that means that the church has now got to step up and help with those families as well, because mm-hmm. we're still the body of Christ and we need to be there to encourage and support each other.
Amen. Amen. No, you're 100%. You know, I say all the time, I grew up in a fatherless home, and I know the impact of that. And that does not mean that my mom didn't love the Lord. My dad made the decision to leave. There's still a deficit because of that. There's still a lack. And so I say so often we as Christians, we feel like, you know, if we miss the mark, then we want to move the goal. We want to say, well, that's not the goal. No, but God has already set the standard and it is the goal. And even when we miss the mark, we have to be able to acknowledge, hey, I missed the mark. I don't see this reflected in my household, but how can I get as close to God's standard as I possibly can? And I think number one, we have to acknowledge that there is indeed a standard, just like you're doing.
Amen. So that is so good, Miss Mickey. I mean, I got to steal that from you because that's exactly the heart right there. That is exactly the heart. God gave us a standard. We've dropped the ball. We sinned. We destroyed that, but it doesn't change the standard. Amen. You're so right. And that's the heart is like, look, there is a way that seems right to man, but the ends lead to death. And we can't fall for that. We can't take what Satan is making normal and turn that into normal. It's not. It's a consequence of a fallen, broken world.
Mm, so good. So good. Okay, so let's talk about reasons for hope. Let's talk about how your ministry operates, how it functions. Let's talk about the content you're producing. I joke there are certain members of the body of Christ. You know, we all have different gifts that the Lord has entrusted to us. And I feel like there's a special use for the gift of snarkiness, right? And Brother Carl, I feel like you've got the right amount of snarkiness that both challenges our culture, but it engages kids. And I think our kids are looking for that boldness. They're looking for that not only defense of the faith, but it's a bold defense of the faith that, you know, exposes the lies and says they don't even make sense. And that's what I get when I see your debunked videos. It's like, not only is this false, but, you know, it's dumb and false. And I think kids really enjoy that. So talk about how your ministry functions and what you guys, like your goals are.
I really appreciate that, Miss Mickey, because I really believe that sarcasm is like my love language. But there's one of these things that I think is very important as well, is that when we're talking loss, I don't do that. I don't use the sarcasm. I don't use the mocking and the ridicule, because they're going to spend eternity in either one of two places, heaven or hell. And that's just the way that it is. So when I'm talking to lost people, I tone it down quite a bit. But when we're delivering a message to a generation that thinks different, I mean, you think about it. The scientific research supposedly shows that young people have a 2.2 second attention span. Okay. Which, by the way, is less than a goldfish. I'm still trying to figure out who did that research and how did they do it? And did our tax dollars pay for it? And they probably did. But if you're going to try and reach that generation, you can't come at them with a, today we're going to do, they're gone, right? Mm-hmm. And so the approach has always been, let's go after them. Animated, fast-paced, even in our talks, fast-paced, a lot of visuals, give them eye candy. But do not compromise the word of God. Do not water down the message, because you can't. And so you speak the truth, you speak it in love, but you speak it and it's direct, right? And so the method has always been, let's take on the issues that they're confronted with. That's why we do the index cards on day one, not day four, day one at the camps. What are the questions keeping you from selling out for the Lord Jesus Christ? Write them down, turn them in. That's what we're dealing with this week in camp. And then we have 17 teaching sessions during the week for our camps that we do. 17 teaching sessions that are mandatory and 5 voluntary. Okay. And parents, I've had parents come up and say, oh, please don't do that. My child's going to call me the next day and want to go home. Never happens. Never happens. Matter of fact, I can give you testimony after testimony of kids that came in and said, when I saw how many teaching sessions there were going to be, I thought I was going to call mom and want to go home. And now I don't want to go home. Right. So what I'm finding is that if you address the issues that the younger generation are struggling with, and you're straightforward and you're real, you're honest, and you throw some humor in there, they're hungry. They're hungry. And so that's our approach, is just straightforward, honest. You know, I'm ADD, if you can't tell. So it's hard for me to get from here to here in a straight line. I'm going to take a bunch of bunny trails, but we're going to get there. And it just seems to connect with a generation that is used to that.
I want to give an example to our listeners. Our listeners will be able to hear it, but if they're watching over on YouTube, then they'll be able to see it. This is just a tease and also an encouragement for our viewers to go over to the YouTube channel Reasons for Hope, and they can check out the full video. And if you're listening, go to YouTube Reasons for Hope. Not only should you check out these videos as a parent, but you should also watch them with your kids. So this is just a tease so that people can hear what we're talking about and the way that your pace moves for kids. I think kids engage with this. They want it and they can keep up with it. And so here's an example of that. All right, let's watch.
When it comes to so-called missing links between apes and humans, there's one that stands head and hairy shoulders above the rest. And I mean that figuratively, because it was speculated to only be a little over 3 feet tall when alive. And I'm referring to none other than Australopithecus afarensis, my friend and yours, Lucy in the sky with diamonds. Well, that's where the name came from. But it's just plain Lucy to you and me, and it's got some splaining to do, because it ain't all it's cracked up to be. I mean that literally. First of all, this highfalutin technical name simply means southern ape from the Afar region, which is about the only thing they say that's accurate when it comes to this supposed hirsute hominid, as all kinds of creative and fanciful things happen along the way to make Lucy into the ultimate missing link. But before I go there, let's just take a quick look at how Lucy is often depicted. Here you go, one right from a museum right there, another right from a textbook. Wow, look at her smiling and walking just like you and me. Now, did someone snap a photo of Lucy and the gang back then? I mean, is this how they found Lucy, walking around, waving at him with a cute little smirk? Of course not. So then how did this artist come up with this rendering? Well, who knows exactly, but let me tell you how it all started.
Oh, and so if you want to know how it all started, you'll have to go over to YouTube, Reasons for Hope, and I guarantee you're not going to be disappointed.
Awesome.
Carl, that's just one little taste of what you guys are doing at Reasons for Hope. I think it's incredible. I'm wondering, though, and this may be a great way for us to kind of transition to what you are encountering. So we've already kind of touched on the brokenness that we are seeing in our kids today, the loss of identity, and they know it. There's a loss of identity. But what are those arguments, those plausible arguments that you see really rivaling the gospel today? Are kids still confused about evolution and where they've come from and how the world has been made? Are you finding that still?
It's crazy. It's still one of the top issues. By the way, that video, if you download our app, you can also, when you go to, there's a merch tab, you'll hit the merch tab, go in there, free PDFs and booklets, and you'll see a thing called Lucy Unlinked. And all of the sources that I use, secular sources, because it's like, look, I'm not going to give you just Christianese or creation material. All the secular sources totally destroying that as one of our supposed ancestors are in there. And it's all the points that I make, even more so than you can do in the video, right? Mm. Those are all in there. And at the very bottom of the app, when you're on the main page, it has a speakers tab. If you hit speakers and then go, you'll see my picture growing there. Good for keeping mice out of the pantry as well. But if you hit full-length talks, you'll see the human evolution talk and the fossil talk. And those two right there will give you a lot of information as well. But yes, evolution is still a big deal to this younger generation, because think about it. They're in a school for 900 hours a year. Mm-hmm. And 80 to 85% of Christian kids go to government schools to be trained by the world to think like the world. Then we wonder why they go to the world.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a rocket scientist, but I mean, if you spend 900 hours a year in a school teaching you to think a specific way, mm-hmm. which is reinforced with 936 hours a year of video games, which is reinforced with 1,064 hours of television screens.
Yeah.
Guys, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that this younger generation is so inundated with messages that God is just, there is no God. There's, you know, evolution's a fact, naturalist processes. And so that's a biggie. The gender thing, I mean, we just got to call it like it is. That's in the top three with a bullet. Everywhere we go, the number of young people struggling with their identity is, it's mind-blowing. And these are Christian homes. It's Sunday schools. I mean, when I go to Sunday schools, youth groups, they're all struggling with this issue, because, again, 900 hours in a school, 1,064 on screens, and 936 playing video games. And that message is so consistent. You know, it does, there are, you can't even tell what a male and a female is. And I'm like, duh.
The North Carolina Home Educators Thrive Conference happens May 22nd through the 25th in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. We're going to be there, and we hope to see you.
Yeah, that's a new one. I've never been to Winston-Salem. How do you say it?
Not Winston.
Oh, it's not Winston?
It's Winston.
Winston.
Yes.
Okay,
Winston. He's mad that you didn't get his name right. Sorry, Winston.
Winston, I'm sorry, man. Winston-Salem. I've never been there, so it's going to be great. Going to be a good time, and we're looking forward to being there.
Yeah, you can learn more about the Thrive Conference by going to our website at cultureproof.net, cultureproof.net. Click on engage, and you can find all of the events that we're going to be participating in this travel season. And they're hyperlinked. Yay. Who doesn't like a good hyperlink? Just click on those links. It'll take you right to those websites where you can get registered. And hopefully we'll get to see you there. We'll be podcasting on location. Come our family our will be with us. We would love to shake your hand. Yeah, Carl, let me jump in here with a question, because I think we don't, as Christian parents, right? I don't think we often take a step back to recognize the building blocks that lead to the hemorrhage that we're discussing. Kids walking away from the faith, turning away from truth, denigrating the church, right? The Lord's bride. Yeah. I think we don't see all of the little ways, and they're not little ways, right? Because they're all massive in their departure from factual truth. But these ways all sort of like stack up so that our kids don't believe what we're saying to them. So if you say that you evolved from a monkey, right? Or that you are the result of random chance or a great big bang, then why do we need to say that there is a gender binary? Why do we need to say that God has a design for sex? Because there's nothing that really anchors us to an absolute truth or absolute morality. All of it just becomes subjective and just sort of open to how we feel.
See, Satan played the long game. Satan played the long game. It's like, okay, y'all can teach your God thing, but we're going to give the science thing. So turn over the real information to us, and you can tell your little fairy tales and your fables. And this is where he was smart. Mm-hmm. Look, you can still go to church. You can still do your Sunday school thing, but give me your child for 900 hours a year. Mm. And I'm going to teach them real history. And when they learn real history, real astronomy, geology, biology, anthropology, all of which contradict the word of God, here's what I'm finding in the church. Many times we want the Christian morality, but we can't have the Christian morality without the Christian history. Mm. We gave over the history to the world. The world teaches the quote-unquote history of astronomy, biology, geology. And then we come in and try and pour, look, we're Christians. We're morals. We don't like people that with long hair. We don't like piercings. We don't like tats. You know, we're Christians. We got morals. We got standards. But hold up. Those morals, why is abortion wrong? Because I think so. You think so? The law of the land states it? No, because a number of years ago, 30% of the people that walked into a booth and poked a hole or did whatever it is that they did to put our new commander in chief in charge of us, did so saying that we need change. And so they voted for somebody who told us that he was going to do what he did when it came to abortion and marriage. He did it. He didn't lie. Mm-hmm. But we voted with our hip pocket because we needed change. And Christians we've got to wake up.
Come on.
I'm not a political person. I'm a real person where it says, look, when God says this, that's where I got to be. Mm-hmm. I can't compromise on that.
That's right.
I don't care what party you belong to. I don't care what you claim. If you're going to say this and do this, that's called hypocrisy.
Come on.
And we have to challenge that in a loving way, but straightforwardly. So, yeah, I think you're right. What you guys are doing is so vitally important to that, because when I met your children, when I saw how solid they were, the fact that they can look an adult in the eye and have a conversation, that is not the norm in Christian homes, unfortunately, and it should be. And that comes from parents that are directly involved and engaged and teaching their children not only what to think, but how to think. And that's the power that adults and parents have.
Man, you know, Carl, thank you. First of all, I let me just say, I appreciate that, and glory to God. Yeah. You know, glory to God. Praise because God. He really does take, I feel like, the fish and the loaves of our parenting, right? For all of us as Christian parents, I believe the Lord takes those efforts and he really multiplies that by the power of his spirit. Mm. And so I'm grateful for that. And I think all Christian parents are grateful when we see the once delivered ardent faith operating in the lives of our children, right? Amen. Like that's the goal and the aim. We want to see Christ formed in them. But you know, there's something that you're touching on here that, and I really want to make sure that we run another highlighter over it. there is a competition that exists among believers. And when I'm talking about this competition, I'm talking about how when we start to teach scripture, right, we're not just able to teach scripture. We're not just able to teach the science that is actually in scripture, right? Like scripture and science are not in conflict, but there's a competition that exists because we first told our kids that the world has the authority, that what they hear ongoingly should be held up as the standard. So when we introduce biblical truth, it seems that we are contradicting the standard that we actually entrusted to them. So what are the steps that we as parents, as aunts and uncles, as grandparents need to take right now to wrestle back that authority that we gave away to the world and now find ourselves competing against?
That is the issue. So the way that we do it, number one, let's take on the issues that they're getting thrown at and let's just deal with them. Here's what the world says. Here's what the Word of God says. Here's what we actually see. I love doing real world stuff. Like you see my shirt with the dinosaur on it. We take people on a dinosaur dig. You think that the fossils prove slow gradual processes over millions of years? Come dig dinosaur bones for us and see firsthand. I love taking people through zoos. We actually teach a class at Faith Baptist Bible College out in Ankeny. Man, get your young people there. You got a sophomore, junior, senior, and high schooler. We're teaching two classes in May, one in July. The one in July, well, the two in May are $99.
Wow.
Each one, 3 credit hours. You're not going to find that anywhere.
Wow.
And it's all on creation apologetics, cultural apologetics, apologetics and evangelism. They're doing a special because this is the first year for those two classes in May. $99 for 3 credit hours for each class, right? June that we're doing is called Jumpstart. That's 3 credit hours, food, the house, everything. And then on Thursday, we take them to Omaha Zoo. All right. And now the kids have to do a presentation at an animal and they have to include the gospel in there because you got all these people walking around and we're standing there. We break them up into groups and they're given the presentations. People come up, start listening because it's really fun information. When you start looking at the world through the lens of God's word, what you see in the world screams that God did what he said that he did the way that he said that he did it. And so they're given that type of information and then they include the gospel. And we always have people come up and talk to us. What are you guys doing? Who are you? And then every one of them, we've given them the gospel braces because that's one of my ministries, man. Love the gospel braces. And they all get a gospel break. Hey, thanks for talking with us. Let me tell you this message. And they share the gospel with whoever comes up. But that is the key, is teaching application. How do we take our faith and put it out in the real world? Zoos, museums, aquariums, every one of those should be a homeschooler dream.
Yeah.
Because now here's what the world says, but here's what the Word of God says. Here's what we actually see. And when you start taking on the things that the world's throwing at us straightforwardly, we win.
Amen.
We win.
Amen. You know, it's interesting. And by the way, so backtrack to those programs that are being offered. How can our listeners learn more about that? What website should they visit?
If you go to rforh.com, that's our website, rforh.com, and you'll see events in the top. There's a tab and you scroll down, you'll see Jumpstart. And I think the two classes are up in there as well. There's a tab. There's a link that takes you to the modules. The Jumpstart class, I think, is $395 plus a $50 fee for the bus and the museum thing. So you're talking for 3 credit hours with food, with lodging, the whole works for the whole week is like, what, $440, $445, something like that?
Wow, that's an investment.
It's unheard of.
Yeah, that's an investment. And it's not just a temporal investment, right? I think of all the things that we would involve our kids in for way more. But this is an eternal investment, right? It strengthens them to be able to defend the faith. But Carl, I want to say something. I just want to throw this out at you and kind of get your response to it. I think that there are times when we talk about how the Word of God can, you know, stand up under scrutiny. We can hold up the Word of God against science and we should have a confidence in that. And I think that there are some parents who want their kids to have a confidence that they themselves don't even have.
Money.
I think that, so,
money.
Okay, go ahead. Talk about it.
No, I didn't want to cut you off, but that's it. You can only pour out what you got in you, right?
Yeah.
And if I'm a cup half filled, I can only pour out a half cup and you know, there's going to get some that gets spilled along the way. So you're not going to be able to pour out as much, which is why, again, parents, you can do this. As a matter of fact, those two classes in May, parents can, they can audit it. They don't even have to take the test. They can come in and just get the information, right?
Wow.
This is how much our relationship with faith means to me. These guys are doing stuff. They're like, we want the body of Christ to have the information.
Amen.
So if it's a $99 class for 3 credit hours, which is unheard of, we're going to do it. Mm. And if you want to audit the class and not take the test, you still have to participate in class, but you don't have to take the test because you're an adult. Look, this is the key. And it's one that I struggle with, quite frankly, because this is going to sound real bad. You guys are probably going to kick me off out of here. But I'm going to tell you right now, if I never had to talk to old people again, I'd be fine with it. It's like the younger generation, I still see a passion and a hunger there. And that's the mature generation that drives me crazy because they've gotten into complacency mode. Mm. And it's like, if you are in complacency mode, if you are just filling time, just going to church on Sundays, because that's what you do, because that's what I did until I was 26 years old. Mm. You gotta stand up, sit down, kneel. I knew the offering plate was coming. I knew the ritual, but I didn't know Jesus. That drives me crazy. And unfortunately, that's what I run into so many times with mature generation. We've been doing this for so many years, and this is just the way that we do it. That's not Christianity.
Right.
And there's a major difference. And so if I never had to talk to the mature folk again, that'd be great. But here's the reality. If I don't get the mature folk fired up, then the kids are going to go home to bumps on a log, and they're going to, over time, they're just going to be gone too. Mm. Parents That's right. have the greatest impact, opportunity to impact their children for all eternity than I do or anybody else does. And so I do have to talk to the parents and step on their toes and challenge them. So,
yeah. No, I think it's good. I think you're touching on it. It's got to be both, right?
Yeah.
We've got to do both. We have generations of a sort of a normalized apathy as it pertains to the faith. And I do think that it comes from parents. You know, I think parents, and I want to say this lovingly because there's so many challenges. I mean, we know this, we all know this, right? There's so many challenges to rearing our kids and trusting the faith to them and making sure that they understand every day what that looks like in practice, not to just have a head knowledge, but what it means to have Christ formed in you. There are major challenges there. But I think sometimes if we could, you know, wrestle or awaken parents to the realization that, you know, there may be a desire that they have for their kids that they don't actually have for themselves. You know, I want my kid to know Christ, but really I have just lived a culturally normative Christian life. You know what I mean? It's we go to church, we go out to eat after, and that's the extent of it. You know, I think sometimes what parents want is that their kids, I want to know my kid's not going to go to hell. I want to know that my kid is going to live a good moral life and be successful with the house and the picket fence and the kids. You know what I mean? But we call that the ardent faith, and it's really not. I think once we start defining terms, we find that we're talking about two different things.
Yeah.
I got to jump on what you said there about we go to church and then we go eat lunch. You know, one of the greatest things that you can do, this is coming from a Liberty University professor, a Baptist Mid-Mission missionary who have worked with thousands of kids. I gave the stat that 50 to 88% of the young people raised in Christian homes are gone by the time they're age 18. These guys found anecdotal evidence here, but young people who are raised in a home with parents who do a specific thing, they found that only 3 to 4% walk away. Would you like to know what that one thing was?
100%. Yes.
Children that were raised in homes where parents were actively engaged in sharing their faith, only 3 to 4% of those kids they saw walking away.
Mm.
And here's what struck me, because if I, as a parent, love the Lord enough to take it outside of my home and my church, and I'm going out into the real world, and my children see me loving people enough to speak the truth in love, but speaking the truth, I guarantee you that ride to and from church isn't like a battleground. And then we walk into church and we're putting on game face, you know,
we're here.
Right. I guarantee you that your life is going to be different in those moments. Cause you're not just playing church. You're not just playing games. If you are loving the Lord enough to get outside and share the love of Christ with people in a real way, the younger generation are watching. I'll tell you one of the greatest compliments my son ever gave me. My son worked with me when we first started the ministry, and he came to pick me up from the airport. I'd been on the road. It'd been a long trip, and I come home, and he got delayed, right? And so I am not a patient person, may I put it like that, right? And I'd just gotten home from a long trip. It was like, I want to get home. And so I'm standing there waiting. But while I'm waiting, I see a gentleman that's sweeping and picking up trash and everything. So I just started up a conversation with him, and I ended up giving him the gospel bracelet, and I'm sharing the gospel with him. And my son had pulled up, and I'm doing all this. And then I get done, I get in the car, and I wasn't upset. I wasn't angry. It was like, it was one of those things. It was like, man, what an awesome opportunity I had to share the gospel with this gentleman. And we got in the car and we just drove, and I never thought anything about it. You know, that's, you know, hey, thanks. And talking, we go. And it was months later that my son was talking to somebody, and I just overheard it. And he was talking about, yeah, I was late, and I thought dad was going to be mad. But when I got there, I'm watching him, and he's sharing the gospel with this guy. And it's like, man, that was so encouraging to me. So all I know is this, is that if we love the Lord enough to talk about him, it's going to impact what other people see in us.
100%. I think additionally, it tells our kids that we really believe what we're teaching them.
Yeah.
You know, that we are really connected to the reality that apart from Christ, man is destroyed. Like, he is dead in his sins. And that's brilliant, right? Yeah. Like, that just makes sense, because it's an active faith. It is truly the display of an ardent faith that we've received. Carl, I want you, in the minutes that we have left, to tell our listeners about some of the resources. I'm thinking specifically, and you feel free to talk about whatever it is that you guys have invested in putting together to undergird parents, to undergird our efforts to see Christ formed in our kids. But you guys also have a mobile app. Talk a little bit about that and anything else.
Well, I'll tell you, the biggie would be the app, because that's absolutely totally free. And all you have to do is go to your app store and search for five letters, R-F-O-R-H. You'll see a blue asterisk on a black background. Download it. It's absolutely free of charge. It is jam-packed with information. I tried everything that we've produced digitally, I try to put up there free of charge. My heart is like, if 99 cents to download the app is keeping you from getting it, get it. That kids section that you see in there, that there's the fast fact. When you go to that, I told you about the zoo tours. You hit that thing. That's a 1 month devotional, 6 day a week. You watch a 90 second video, which is on there. You watch a 90 second video, fun, fast paced information. And then there's a study for each day of the week that's got questions based on the video that you watch. The answers are in there for your parent. And if you got young ones, there's a coloring sheet that they can fill in. Fantastic. Because if they got to do things with their hands, like I got to do when I'm doing stuff, they can be coloring in that sort of a thing. That's a 1 month devotional. Pray for us. I want to create more of those things. It's just one of these challenges, right? Funding is everything.
Yeah.
But take that. That's free of charge. The merch section, I'm not selling you. I told you, you hit that merch section, you go to free PDFs and booklets. My book's in there free of charge. The Lucy book's in there free of charge. There is so much free stuff in there that I want you to have those tools. Another thing that we have that's not up on there free, but you'd be able to get it at our website. We have a series of books called Glad You Asked. The first one, the original title was called Did Jesus Commit Suicide? And 27 Other Questions That Teens Ask That Adults Need to Know Too. Wow. Because those are the questions that when we hand out the index cards that the kids were coming back with. I was literally in a Q&A 20 minutes into it in Hemet, California, just pulling. We don't dodge. We just pull them and go. Mm-hmm. If suicide is a sin, didn't Jesus sin because he committed suicide? Good try. But there's a difference between suicide and sacrifice. Mm. And so we went through it. But then I brought those back and I went to my team and said, guys, I see all these question and answer books, but the questions that I'm seeing in there a lot of times, those aren't the ones that I'm getting from the youth that when we're handed out index cards. So let's take what we're getting and put them into a book. So we got two volumes out right now. One is a Christmas edition and one's the other one. Volume two is going to be coming out in a few months. We've got that all written. It's being edited and laid out and that sort of a thing right now. And that'd be a great tool as well for parents that want some help on how to answer questions. And they can get that on our website. On the app too, another thing I'd like to tell you about is if you go to the speaker, Carl Kirby, or any one of our speakers, because we got three other speakers that do a great job. It's not just me. But if you go down to my full length talk, you'll see one in there called Within Our Reach. And that is for parents. I'm going to tell you, that is one thing I would want you to watch of ours to start it all off. If you don't like that, then okay, throw it away. Throw the rest away. But Within Our Reach was Miss Holly Varnum and myself. We're talking about, here's things that you can do as a parent to keep your children from walking away. And that's on there free of charge. I think it's 28-minute documentary style type video, but it's that's well done. So those are the type of tools that we have. Come on a trip with us. We're taking people to the Grand Canyon. We're taking people digging dinosaur bones. We're taking people all over the place. We do those types of things because, again, we want memorization without application is worthless. And I don't mean to be disrespectful here. Scripture memorization is vitally important. But if you can't apply it,
come on,
it's going to go away.
That's right.
What we see with this generation is just let me learn these things. You know, I'm going to put it to short-term memory. Then you grade me. I come back and give a test, and you grade me on how well I regurgitate back to you what I short-term memory. Well, regurgitation isn't pretty. It doesn't smell good. It doesn't look good. And we shouldn't educate like that. We need application. That's real.
Yes. Oh, man, it's so good. Carl, thank you. Thank you for the work that you guys are doing at Reasons for Hope. And I just want to remind our listeners that they can download the app. I have the app on my phone. I mean, you've got resources right there in hand where you're sitting. You know, we often talk about screens and the use of screens. Make it productive. If you're gonna have screen time with your kids, make it productive. And I think you and your team are doing an incredible job to make screen time productive. I also want to make sure that they remember the website address. So it's rforh.org. Am I right about .org? Okay.
Org.com. We got them all.
You got very, very good. Okay, Carl, before we wrap up, any closing thoughts on how the body of Christ might be strengthened and encouraged as we continue pressing forward?
You know, I'd throw it to you and say this, that you can do it. We live in a world that kind of tries to diminish parents and parenting. And the world thinks they're going to tell you that they've got a better way of doing it. They don't. When you get grounded in your faith, when you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you have such a power to be able to impact your children. Yes, I was the child that when my mom looked at me and taught me things, she probably thought there is no hope for this child, but it was in there. And so you can do it through the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not give up on him. That's the only thing that we've got that's worth anything. If you see anything good in what we're doing here, it's not because of me. It's in spite of me. I look at my children's lives. It is God who graciously is going to work through that humble servant. And I'm sorry, that's who we are. We are servants.
That's right.
We put that ear up on the doorpost and let them drive that nail through there saying, I'm yours, right? When you submit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ and give it to him, he's going to be there for you. So don't ever let anybody lie to you. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. You have the ability to do it, but you're going to have to put some elbow grease into it. Anything worth anything is worth working for. And Jesus Christ is worth growing in your knowledge and your service to him. You can do it.
Glory to God. Amen. All right, man, thank you so much. Reasons for Hope, our brother Carl Kirby, doing the work, putting it in for us, all of us, all across this country, around the world, indeed, but certainly across this country, to help us be bold defenders of the faith. Carl, thank you so much. We appreciate you and your team.
You're a blessing to us. Thank you.
When we resist those cultural trends that rival the truth, we remain culture proof. Until next time, Lord willing.
God bless.